Hello, this is Sheila Lammers with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, March 15, 2017. We'll begin today's readings with an article from the Commercial News called We Love That Church. Family, life revolved around Lincoln UMC. Marjorie Malloy and her daughter, Susan Malloy Owens, don't know where to start when thinking about all their fond memories tied to the former Lincoln United Methodist Church building. The building at 614 West William Street will soon be torn down by the city. Due to the building's instability, it needs to be torn down as soon as possible, according to city officials. Our whole life revolved around that church, Susan, 63, said. Susan and her mother now live in Bloomington. I went there as a little girl. That was my grandparents' church also. They lived on Robinson Street, Susan said. Susan's grandparents, William Edwards and Mildred Malloy, attended Lincoln United Methodist Church since the 1940s, sang in the choir, taught Sunday school, and were on all the boards. Susan's father, the Reverend William Lewis Malloy, also served at the church for about 17 years, after having lived with that church in his heart since a little boy. Dad retired from that church, Susan said. We love that church, that's for sure. Susan said her mother and father went to the church after being at Tilton, Bismarck, and Sidell United Methodist Churches. She said both her grandparents' funerals were in that church. She was engaged and married in the church. She and her brother and also her three children, daughter Meredith, who is now a United Methodist minister in St. Louis, and sons Brian and Will, were baptized in that church. Her parents lived by the church, too. Susan lived in the house next door, part of the time going to Lakeview College of Nursing. Susan said Charlotte Wright, for whom Charlotte's Coffee and Tea Shop is named, was her dad's secretary at the church for a number of years, being a dear friend and parishioner prior to that. The church was our life. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, playing in the gym and Lincoln Schoolyard for fun, she said. She remembers a barber shop at Williams and Chandler Streets. Susan remembers hearing her grandparents and joining them singing in the choir and singing hymns. She also remembers annual chicken and noodle dinners to raise money for the church and having bazaars. Susan said her children would visit their grandpa in the church and play in the gym. Susan said when she first met Ray, her future husband, who is a retired Methodist minister, while working as a registered nurse at Lakeview Hospital, she told her father she met a nice Christian boy. The boy was Baptist. Her father, she said, was praying she'd meet someone, but he was going to keep on praying. Ray did become a Methodist, and it worked out. Lincoln Church was truly our family church for a bunch of ministers, Susan said. Susan and Marjorie say it's a shame the church has to be torn down. It was beautiful, Marjorie, 88, said of the building. It was a beautiful sanctuary. We had a good congregation, over 150 people, Marjorie said. She said her husband was known as Preacher Bill. It was an ideal church, and it really served the community, she said. Marjorie said they had children who would walk there every Sunday from the neighborhood. They had Head Start there and a good Sunday school. Marjorie said her husband would allow those waiting to catch a bus to stand inside the building when the weather was bad. She said the church, Lincoln School, and Lincoln Park were all named after Abraham Lincoln. He would walk that area, she said, about the Williams and Chandler Streets area. She said it makes her sad to think about the church being gone. We had good services. It was just a good church that served the community, she said. Our next article is from the News Gazette and is called Maple Syrup Slump. For the third consecutive year, Mother Nature hampered the local maple syrup season. No worries, though. There's still a plentiful supply for Sunday's maple syrup open house at Forest Glen Preserve in southern Vermilion County. That's the word from Ken Consis, executive director of the Vermilion County Conservation District. Typically, the maple syrup season begins in early to mid-February when holes are drilled in sugar maple trees and metal spiles tapped snugly into the holes. But predicting how much maple syrup will be produced is a shot in the dark, Consis said, because it's completely weather-dependent. This February, about 350 spiles were tapped into trees at Forest Glen, and the weather was perfect. The first week, 1,500 gallons of sap was boiled down to make 30 gallons of syrup, and park staff was bracing for a banner year. Then daytime temperatures went 20 straight days between 45 and 70 degrees, and nights above freezing. Season over, Kansa said. The Forest Glen pancake and sausage dinner will be from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday. Prices are $5 for adults and $2.50 for children under 12 years old. Tours of the Sugar Bush, where the syrup is made, will be given, and the Pioneer Homestead will be open. For information, call 217-662-2142. Our next article, also from the News Gazette, is called Danville Crime: Police Seek Suspects in Shooting. Danville police are searching for suspects in a shooting incident that injured a 25-year-old Danville man. Officers responded at 1:30 p.m. Monday to a report of a shooting in the 900 block of Martin Street and found the victim with a gunshot wound to his torso. He told police that after he was robbed and shot at a residence in the 900 block of Martin Street, he ran off and was helped by people in the area who called 911. The victim described his attackers as two men wearing dark hoodies and armed with handguns. The victim was taken to the hospital and was being treated for his wound. Anyone with information is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. Now it's time for our weekly high school confidential report. First, from Armstrong High School, student Holly Hamilton submitted this. On Wednesday, the student body went ice skating at Danville's Palmer Arena. Said PE teacher Candy Franzen, "Every year at the end of the hockey unit, I take the students ice skating. It gives them the opportunity to experience hockey at a whole new level. They always enjoy it." From Bismarck Henning High School, student Gina Russell wrote, "On Saturday, the student council volunteered at Junior High Fun Night, helping run inflatables and game booths involving bowling, fishing, miniature golf, beanbag toss, and football throw." From Salt Fork High School, student Dawson LaBaugh wrote, "A coin drive was put on by students in the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. The junior class raised the most money as the school reached its $500 goal to earn a celebration day. Also, the seniors won February's Class Cup contest with 100 points. From Westville High School, student Bailey Langster wrote, "A fundraiser put on by senior class officers, Whimsy by Design, netted $410 for the May 18th senior trip to Six Flags." Pictured and with this little piece are Krista Smith, secretary, and Cassie Parker, vice president. From Oakwood High School, student Brooke Mercer wrote, "At the annual Vermilion County Music Festival, Jenna Ford and Andrew Garrett were nominated for the All-County Sportsmanship Award. Also, Katie Schell advanced to state for the Worldwide Youth in Science and Engineering team in English." Now we'll turn back to the commercial news for an article called "Committee Postpones Stormwater Fee Vote." Aldermen's concerns about other city budget issues, including possible firefighter layoffs and taking more money away from taxpayers, made them uncomfortable voting on a new stormwater utility fee. The Danville City Council's Public Works Committee Tuesday night voted to postpone action on the fee until a special meeting at 5 p.m. March 21st. Ward 4 Alderman Mike O'Kane said he wanted more information on the budget, with harder decisions coming up. O'Kane said he could live with the fee, but "I can't support it today. I'm not comfortable unless I know what else is coming at me." Mayor Scott Eisenhower said he's not sure what else O'Kane wants to hear. City officials are preparing some other budget information for O'Kane, including lowering the overtime amount in the fire department. "I've made my proposal," Eisenhower said. Eisenhower's 2017 to 2018 budget proposal includes cutting 16 firefighter positions to save $1.3 million. That proposal also included about $1.5 million in overtime and $480,000 in unemployment costs in the fire division. Eisenhower also Tuesday night announced a budget study session on Saturday, but only two alderman committee members present indicated they could come. Ward 2 Alderman Rick Strebing said he would like to see a 3-year sunset clause set on the stormwater fee to then further evaluate the program. As part of the currently proposed language, the City Comptroller will review the Stormwater Utility Fund and make rate recommendations to the City Council annually. The City Council will review the recommendations and may adjust the stormwater utility fee rates accordingly. Ward 3 Alderwoman Sherry Pickering said she sees a need for the fee, but she doesn't think it's a necessity with what the city is facing with budget constraints. Ward 1 Alderman Ricky Williams Jr. also questioned how much money would go to existing expenses versus stormwater mandates and projects with the fee. City officials have said about 40% would go to existing costs and 60% would go to maintenance projects. "There's no way I can support this," Williams said about taking possibly another $1.5 million from taxpayers with a stormwater fee and public safety fee increase. "I can't support that in any way." He said he thinks the city can still find $500,000 in budget cuts without cutting services. Eisenhower said if nothing is done with the fee, the stormwater system will continue competing with other general fund items. The fee and setting up an enterprise fund to pay only for stormwater issues is an attempt to make another aspect of government self-sufficient, he said. Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnell said he'd rather be proactive with future stormwater maintenance. "Reactive is always more expensive," he said. The tiers for the proposed monthly stormwater fee: 0 to 10,000 square feet, $3.50. 10.001 to 50,000 square feet, $30. I think that was supposed to be 10,001 feet to 50,000. 50,001 feet to 100,000 square feet, $100. 100,001 to 250,000 square feet, $200. 250,001 to 500,000 square feet, $475. And 500,001 and higher square feet, $1,000. The fee would be on sewer bills to address annual stormwater management costs and to meet federal mandates. The stormwater fee is expected to generate about $900,000 the first year, which won't be a full year for the fee, and $1.2 million the second year, a full year. City officials also said Tuesday night there will be no proposed increase this year in monthly garbage fees. Our next article here is entitled "Hoopston Man Charged with Child Endangerment After Standoff." A 27-year-old Hoopston man was arrested early Tuesday morning after threatening to harm himself and his children, according to police reports. Hoopston police responded at 8:21 p.m. Monday to a residence in the 300 block of Dice Street, where Apollinar Solis Jr. reportedly made a Facebook post stating he was going to harm himself and his children. The report also stated Solis refused to come out of the residence when asked by officers. The Vermilion County Sheriff's Department Special Operations Group was then dispatched and an arrest warrant was obtained, according to police. Solis was taken into custody on child endangerment charges and later transported to the public safety building in Danville to await arraignment. No further information was available early Tuesday. And another article from the Commercial News. It is called "Church to Have Salvage Day Prior to Demo." Prior to another historic building being torn down, those who have a tie to the former Lincoln United Methodist Church will have a chance to salvage some sentimental items. Pastor Ken McCray with Higher Dimension Faith Center has been talking with city officials about going into the building at 614 West Williams Street with caution to retrieve stained glass windows, pews, the church bell, and possibly other items. There is a piano that's in bad condition and other items littered throughout the building. The time designated for those who have a connection with Lincoln United Methodist Church and have an interest in keeping items from the church is 2 to 4 p.m. Saturday. They should meet at the parking lot behind the church. The city erected a fence around the church, which dates back to the early 1900s, last year, due to falling debris from the unstable building. The city is in the process of working through the demolition process. Danville City Council members could have a demolition contract to act on in April. City officials have been working on a consent to demolish with a reimbursement plan, according to Danville Public Works Director Doug Ahrens. McCray said they'll go over the process of what people can salvage from the church building on Saturday. Any donations to help with the demolition also can be made, he added. The church had seen several name changes over the years, including New Light World Harvest Church and Abundant Faith Family Outreach. It was purchased by Union Missionary Baptist Church in about 1995, estimated McCray, who was involved with the church. The name is now defunct, he said, with Higher Dimension now in possession of the church. McCray said there are several former parishioners who would like to keep something from the church building. They've kept old pictures and other things about the church, he said. One person's father put in the stained glass windows in the building, McCray said. They have a sentimental connection to it, he said. There will be no charge, but a donation would be accepted, he added. McCray said the building was not neglected. The building became uninhabitable due to its flat roof that deteriorated. The roof has collapsed into the third floor gym. Insurance also didn't cover the deterioration, McCray said, adding that it was considered a pre-existing condition. The congregation was not big enough, he said, about paying for the needed work. There was insufficient funding to repair that roof. Roof pieces were blowing off, he added. Higher Dimension Faith Center will collect donations to reimburse the city for the demolition costs. Some items in the church also could possibly be sold to reimburse the city, McCray said. Susan Malloy Owens, whose family has a lot of ties to the church, said she and her mother would love to have a pew from the church. There are still chandeliers and light fixtures, stained glass windows and pews, two damaged pianos, and other items throughout the inside of the building. Lincoln United Methodist Church had its final service at the building in 1995. The church's new location is on North Vermilion Street. It's a smaller, single-story, newer facility and was more visible to attract younger members. The Lincoln Methodist Episcopal Church was built in 1901 at Chandler and Williams Streets. The church had been organized in 1880 by a small group of people from First and Kimber Methodist Churches. They saw the need for Christian work in what was then the northwest part of Danville. Services first were in the Grant Street Chapel, which was replaced by a larger church in 1882. By 1901, the congregation reached 160 and decided to build another larger church. The church was destroyed by a fire in April 1925. A new church was then built. Our next article is from Vermilion County First and is called Illinois House Honors Northridge State Champs. Members of Northridge Middle School's undefeated Class 4A State Championship basketball team were honored Tuesday by the Illinois House of Representatives. Team members were standing in the House gallery as State Representative Chad Hayes of Catlin introduced the resolution honoring the team. These are a group of kids who have excelled not only on the basketball court, but in the classroom. If you went to a Northridge game, you would notice the sportsmanship, said Hayes. Somebody's knocked to the ground on a hustle play. They're helping the other team back up, shaking the hands of everybody on the other team after the game. And Representative Hayes noted for many of the players, this is their last year at Northridge. Members of the undefeated Northridge Middle School 8th grade Class 4A State Championship team look on from the House Gallery as they are honored with a photo that appeared with this piece. We couldn't be more proud of you, Northridge. Excellent job. And just a fair warning to my friends around the state, Danville High School won its first regional this year in 16 years. They have no seniors. The undefeated state champions join them next year. We're coming, Danville. We're coming, said Representative Hayes. Members of the House unanimously approved the resolution honoring the team in a voice vote among lawmakers. It's time now to read our area obituaries, and we'll begin with those in the News Gazette. Stanley Edward, known as Bud Bolton, 93, passed away on Saturday, March 11th at the Warren Barr Nursing Home in Lincolnshire. Visitation will be at Holy Family Parish in Danville at 10 a.m. Friday, March 17th, followed by a memorial mass at 11 a.m. Graveside services will be held in Resurrection Cemetery following the memorial mass. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorials may be made to Holy Family Church at 444 East Main Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832, or the Danville Humane Society at 1225 North Collett Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832. David Kirk, 73, of Danville, died at 5:12 a.m. Tuesday, March 14th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Pape Family Funeral Home at 10 East William Street in Danville. Now we'll turn to the commercial news for additional obituaries. Wayne Cunningham died at home with his wife by his side, holding his hand, early in the morning on March 9th at the age of 85. According to his wishes, he will be cremated and a private family service will be held prior to his burial at Danville VA National Cemetery. The family wishes to thank hospice for their exceptional care. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to Carl Hospice at 206 A West Anthony Drive, Champaign, Illinois, 61822. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville is assisting the family with arrangements. Nellie H. Palmer, 94, of Danville, passed away at 1:20 a.m. Saturday, March 11th at Colonial Manor Healthcare in Danville. Graveside service and interment of cremains will be held on Friday, March 17th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time at Thomas Cemetery in Newport, Indiana. There will be no visitation. Contributions may be made to CARA Animal Shelter at 609 East 5th Street in Tilton, Illinois, 61833. Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana is assisting the family with arrangements. Dolores Louise Hageman, 92, of Seidel, passed away on Monday, February 27th at Newman Rehab and Healthcare Center in Newman, Illinois. A celebration of Dolores' life and faith will be at 2 p.m. on Sunday, March 19th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 390 County Road 2400 East, Broadlands, Illinois, 61816. Memorials may be made in Dolores' name to Emmanuel Lutheran Church Youth Group Mission Trip or the donor's choice. Cremation has been entrusted to the care of Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, a life celebration home in Danville. Michael Lee Murdoch, 66, of Georgetown and formerly of Cayuga, Indiana, passed this life at 9:40 a.m. Saturday, March 11th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday, March 16th at Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana. Officiating, Pastors Troy Horn and Gary Ferris. Burial will take place at Thomas Cemetery in Newport, Indiana. Visitation will be held at 10 a.m. Eastern Time until the time of services with Masonic rites by Perrysville Unity Lodge No. 344. Michael's wishes were for casual dress. Please feel free to wear your favorite sports attire in Michael's honor. Contributions may be made to American Kidney Fund at 11921 Rockville Pike, Suite 300, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Dora Mae Stacy passed in peace at home on March 11, 2017. Her service will be held Saturday at 12:30 p.m. by Pastor Bob Sussman at Holiday Hills Community Church at 1700 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. After a 2.5-year battle with esophageal cancer, Paul Robert Baumgart, age 69, of Danville and of Vail, Arizona, took his final trail ride from this earth on Tuesday, January 17th at his home in Vail. A celebration of Paul's life will be held on Tuesday, March 21st, 2017, which would have been his 70th birthday, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. In lieu of flowers, donations for local animal rescues and shelters will be accepted. Now we'll resume our news report, and from VermilionCountyFirst.com, we have an article called County Farm Bureau Holding Events. The Vermilion County Farm Bureau is holding some special events this month leading up to National Agriculture Day on March 21st. Some area farmers will be bagging groceries for shoppers at the three Danville area county market stores on Thursday, March 16th. Tom Fricke, Director of Information for the Vermilion County Farm Bureau, says the event from 1:30 until 3:30 p.m. gives shoppers a chance to meet some of the people who grow their food. The bagging will occur at county market stores at the Village Mall and Town Center in Danville and at the Tilton store. The Vermilion County Farm Bureau will also be distributing around 20,000 placemats to over 25 restaurants around Vermilion County. The placemats give the Farm Bureau a chance to inform patrons about trade, conservation efforts, crop and livestock production, and area employment related to farming and food production. Visitors coming to Vermilion County for the NJCAA Division II Men's National Basketball Tournament next week will find the placemats on restaurant tables throughout the county. The placemat project is co-sponsored by several area agribusinesses, including Country Financial, Danville Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, Farm Credit Illinois, Illini FS, WDAN Radio, Berkey's Farm Store, First Midwest Bank, Farmers National Company, Learned Seed Service, Midwest Agri-Credit Company, the Parks Companies, Longview Bank and Trust, Full Fill Industries, WITY Radio, and Weston Seed Service. Fricke says the support of these companies is another example of the big impact agriculture has on our local economy. The Vermilion County Farm Bureau says American farmers are working harder than ever, and it shows. Today, each American farmer feeds more than 144 people. And the need for food produced in the United States is dramatic. Agriculture is the nation's number one export and is vitally important in sustaining a healthy economy, added Fricke. And he adds farmers across Vermilion County are proud to be a part of the big adventure we call agriculture. Now we have a few local announcements I'll share with you. The Danville Family YMCA is holding a special promotion. Anyone interested in joining the Y may do so between March 10th and March 17th for the low startup fee of $17. For more information, you can call the Welcome Center at 442-0563. Next up, the Georgetown Fair Association will be holding their annual community breakfast at the Georgetown Fairgrounds in the Fair Banquet and Conference Center on March 18th from 7 until 10 a.m. Menu includes sausage gravy and biscuits, scrambled eggs, bacon, sausage, orange juice, and coffee. Free will offering accepted. Also on March 18th from 8:30 until 11:30 a.m., the PVO, Prairie View Ogden, PTO, will be holding a sale at the school located at 304 North Market Street in Ogden as a school fundraiser. This will be a large community sale where you can find any child-related item, clothing, toys, bikes, maternity clothes, furniture, strollers, sports equipment, games, etc. And finally, on March 19th, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m., the Vermilion Pet Wellness Center will be offering a vaccine clinic at Pet Supplies Plus at Village Mall in Danville. Rabies shots for dogs and cats are $10 each, DHLLP for dogs $15 each, FERCP for cats $10 each. Pets must be on a leash. Muzzles are required for aggressive pets. This has been Sheila Lammers with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. I hope you stay warm today, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.